Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, and chapter 33 in particular, Numbers chapter 33. I need to make an apology too. My wife pointed out that I said they erred from the truth, but it actually should be they erred from the faith. So my apologies, I said the wrong word. Numbers 33, and just the last few verses in this chapter, verse 50 down to verse 56. So Numbers chapter 33, and I'll read for us from verse 50 down to 56. Starting in verse 50, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for the privilege, and as we sung about our Lord Jesus, what a wonderful Saviour. And how blessed we are. Lord, help us never forget the wonder of it all, the salvation which is ours in the Lord Jesus, that gift of God which is eternal life. Lord, truly we are blessed. We're thankful for the word of God. We'd ask, Lord, that you'd bless our time now as we look into this and other parts of your word. May it be a blessing, may it be perhaps a challenge, whatever it is, Lord, whatever's needed in our hearts and lives today, that you would break the bread of life to us. And Lord, the end result would be that your will would be accomplished. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we read here God telling Moses, here's what to do. You're out now, you're heading for the promised land. And I want you to give them some information here, what I want them to do. And what will happen if they do it and what will happen if they don't do it. Keep your hand there, but come to Exodus 23. Exodus chapter 23. Just a couple of verses in Exodus 23, verse 32 and 33. Well, first of all, in the previous verse, 31, I'll set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. God says, okay, you need to go into the land, and you need to drive them all out, because if you don't, then they could become a snare to you. In chapter 34 of Exodus, something similar God mentions, and the fact that God repeats himself sort of tells us something, shouldn't it? That's important. In verse 12, Exodus 34, verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. Thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call him, thou eat of his sacrifice, thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, their daughters go a whoring after their gods, make thy sons go a whoring after their gods, thou shalt make thee no molten gods. So God warns them, here's some things that you need to be mindful of. You're to go into the land, and you are to deal with the inhabitants of the land. Now remember, God had been very, very long-suffering with the people in those lands. The Amorites, way back in earlier in the Old Testament, we find that God had said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. As God said, I'm going to judge them if they keep going the way they're going, but I'm giving them grace, I'm extending mercy to them, but there may come a day when I'll have to deal with them. Well, that day has come. Now Israel are out of Egypt and they're heading for what we call the promised land. God had promised them a land. He'd said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. It'll be for your people. By the way, it's an everlasting covenant. That land still belongs to the nation of Israel today, as much as people reject that idea. As much as people are trying to destroy Israel, God says, no, this is an everlasting covenant. Abraham, it'll be for your people down through the ages. And yes, there'll be some hiccups along the way, but it's your land. It's the nation of Israel. Why? Because of the wickedness and the idolatry and the evil of the people who were living in the land. God had said, that's it. I'm going to deal with them and take them out of the land. You see, there's God's a side of God that people don't like, do they? Well, what sort of God's that? Well, God gave them opportunity, after year, after year, after century, and eventually said, that is it. We find that in the day of Noah, wasn't it? God gave them 120 years, and then at the end of that, he said, that is it. Now, he provided a way for them to get out of that. There was an ark. If they wanted to, by faith, step on the ark. We find in the book of Revelation, there's coming a day when God says, that is it. World, that is it. And the wrath of God will be poured out upon this world and it'll be all burned up ultimately. You say, what sort of God's that? That's a holy God. That's a God who is a just and righteous God and will not allow sin to continue forever. So we get back in Numbers again and remember what we've just read there. The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab, by Jordan, near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when ye passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Now, the point I want to make right now is, what God said to them, I think, should have been fairly easy to understand. Okay, simple to understand. Ye shall drive out all the inhabitants, destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, if I said I want you to go out, and I want you to throw paint over all the cars in the car park, I think you'd understand what I mean. I'm not saying you should do that, by the way. But I think all means all, amen? And so when God says, I want all the images gone, I want all that, then I think that was simple for them to comprehend. Now, let's just put this in here as well. It was going to be a progressive work. All right? I say that to encourage us. Because when we get saved, there's a work in progress. Not everything will stop immediately. We know God's plan is to conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sinless perfection. So he's working toward that. But we know that he ultimately wants all sin to go. And he certainly doesn't want us to be obedient, disobedient to him. And so when the children of Israel got to the promised land, it wasn't in one day they wiped out everybody and it's all taken care of. No, it was going to be a work in progress. But the message was clear. All need to go. All need to go. And so the same's for us. We're not sinless immediately, but all known sin needs to go. It needs to be dealt with. And then, yes, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, it'll be progressive. God will begin to show us things that in the past we didn't, oh, I didn't realise, yeah, okay, maybe God's not happy with that. That's going to happen as well. Same as when we're saved. But it's simple enough when you think about, you say, well, that's for the nation of Israel. What about us? Well, the context is still the same, isn't it, in this sense, where Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, and he said, flee youthful lusts. He said to the Corinthians, flee fornication. He says in John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we could go on and on, couldn't we, with verses that make it very clear for us what God is wanting and expecting. Okay, that's the point that I'm making right now. Now, yes, there's progression there. We understand that as well. But notice now in verse 53 and 4, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. They didn't earn it. God says, I'm giving it to you. Remember when we read back in Exodus, God said, I'll be with you and I'll drive them out. So it's a combination of, I'll drive them out, you drive them out. You know, it's like the salvation, isn't it? You know, you read in Philippians where it says, For it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But the previous verse says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's like you go into the land, you drive them out, and then God says, by the way, I'll drive them out. You say, hang on, how does that work? It's not either or, it's both, isn't it? We were talking about this in the prison on Friday night. We're in the book of Philippians right now, and said it's not, I have to live the Christian life. No, God has to do it. No, it's both. I have to do what God shows me to do, and he'll give me the grace and the enabling to do what he shows me to do. You see? So, children of Israel, this is the land. And I've given it to you for a possession. Notice verse 54, and you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give the more inheritance, to the few you shall give the less, etc. So he says, okay, you're going to go in the land, it's going to be divided up, and everybody will get the portion that I want them to have. Everybody will be blessed. Now, turn back to Deuteronomy, or forward, I guess, to Deuteronomy 28. And look at some of the blessings that God promised the nation of Israel if they were to be obedient to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's a blessing straight away. God says, you will have great prominence in the earth if you just be obedient to what I tell you to do, which includes getting rid of everybody in the land. Then he says, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know what I think about when I read that? I think about Ephesians, where God says, I want to bless you exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Sounds similar to what he says to the nation of Israel, doesn't it? He says, I will bless you. The blessings will overtake you if you do what I ask you to do. So notice what he says. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people. And so he goes on, verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Just imagine The incredible blessing that God wanted to pour out upon his people, the nation of Israel, if they would be obedient, if they would do what he asked them to do, the blessings. And so it is for you and I. If we will walk in obedience, God will bless us in ways that we can't even imagine or believe. Why? Because he's promised to do that. So let's come back now to Numbers and notice the next thing here. Notice what he says in verse 53. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. That doesn't sound too good, does it? I don't know about you. You find if you get a speck of dust in your eye, it's quite irritating at best, isn't it? And can be a lot worse than that. And God says, if you leave them there, he's using that as an illustration of the pain it's going to cause, I believe at least, they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. God says, if you don't drive them out, if you don't do it as I tell you to do it, it's going to get painful. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Simple enough. The message is simple. Just get rid of all of them, then you'll get blessed. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble and you're going to have to take what I give you, which I was going to give to them, if you don't obey. Come to Judges now, the book of Judges, and let's see, how did the children of Israel go? In Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 28. We're going to skip through it a little bit here, but won't read all the chapter. But notice what it says, verse 28. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Uh-oh. What did God say? I want all of them out. All of them. Yeah, but we're strong now. We've kind of made ourselves a home here. We're doing okay. Careful, nation of Israel. Watch out. When you are strong, be careful. It speaks of pride. It speaks of, look what I've done. Be careful. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun. You can read down that list there. Oh, just a minute. I thought God's plan, God's will was quite simple. Yes. You have a look in chapter 2, verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. Praise God for that, amen. He doesn't break his covenant, his promises to us. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? It's a good question, isn't it? Christian, why do you do that? You know it's not right. Why do you do it? Why do you? It's clear what the Bible says. You ever felt like that? You know? You say, well, that's getting personal. Exactly. Our walk with God is a personal walk. And God says to them, well, why have you done this? Why have you done it? We need to be careful. Yeah, well, look at them. How could they do that? Have a quick look in the mirror. Could God say to us this morning, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Or it could be, why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you? Simple enough, easy enough. Well, he goes on and says what? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. God said, okay, you don't want to obey me, then I'll stop driving them out, and then you're going to have to see what happens next. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. You think, well, how good is that? They're sorry, but they didn't do the right thing. Oh, really? Have a look in verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and follow other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. One minute you're reading, they're at Bochim. Lord, we're going to have to. Yeah, that's right. And then just keep doing what they're doing. It's amazing, isn't it? Fascinates me when I see sometimes Christians, Lord, no. And then just keep doing what they're doing. Hang on. What's going on here? What's the problem? It's simple enough. This is what God says. I can do all things through Christ. Oh my. You think about us. Well, that was the nation of Israel. We don't have to worry about other gods, and we don't have to worry about the Canaanites being a prick in our eyes and a thorn in our side, do we? Well, have a look in Galatians chapter 6. You see, God's the God who doesn't change. In Galatians chapter 6, these are familiar verses to us. Galatians chapter 6, and we have a look in verse 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, what does the Bible say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Nation of Israel, be not deceived. God has told you that all the Canaanites have to go. All their idols, all their false gods, all of that is to go. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You want to sow to the flesh. In other words, you don't want to do all that God tells you to do. Guess what? You will reap corruption. That's what the Bible says. You will get those pricks in your eyes. You will get those thorns in your sides if you do not do what God has told you clearly to do. We're not worried about what he told someone else. That's not the point. If we don't do what God tells us to do and do all that God tells us to do, you'll get some pricks in the eye. Why? Because whatever you sow, that is what you reap. So you sow to the flesh, that's not doing all, then you of the flesh reap corruption. That's very clear. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes God gives us up to the lusts of the flesh and then we reap corruption. But there's other times, notice Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. First of all, the opening up, he speaks about our need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. In verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And notice what he says next. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The writer of Hebrews, listen, you've forgotten this exhortation. Remember, children of God. Remember, my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. When God chastens you, don't despise that. Don't get upset with God. Don't get cranky with God. Why? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If we want to be like the children of Israel and not do all that we know we should do, guess what? You're going to get some chastening. That's what's going to happen. And notice what he goes on. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Good question, isn't it? Every father is worth his salt. He's going to chasten his children. Why? Because he loves them. He wants the best for them. He wants to see them, etc., etc. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? See, come on, think about it. God's chastening you, but it's for your good. You need to be in subjection to him. That's why he's chastening. You're not in subjection. You're not doing all. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God, so I'm doing this for your good. The reason I'm chastening you is for your good. I'm disciplining you. Notice what he says next. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. If I said this morning, who finds chastening enjoyable? Put up your hand. I doubt whether we'd put our hand up, would we? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But that's the whole purpose of it. You know, if the pain's great enough, then we ought to change, amen? Just depends how much pain you want. That's the whole purpose of discipline and chastening, so that the pain exceeds the pleasure. And when the pain exceeds the pleasure, then what? Then, the Lord willing, we'll do what he wants us to do. So he says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Lord, thank you for this chastening. It reminds me I haven't been doing what I should do, haven't done all that I should do. Please forgive me. And Lord, thank you for that. Notice he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Yeah, well, that back in Numbers is talking about the nation of Israel, correct. What we just read is talking about God's people. The principles don't change. It doesn't change. When God says all, he means all, giving thanks always for most things. All things. All things. All things. Why? Because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So we can, by faith, give thanks for all things by God's grace. You say, well, there's some things I'm not thankful about. Expect some chastening. Expect something that could be painful. Expect something that could be grievous. Until you say, Lord, sorry. Thank you for that. I'm not enjoying it, but thank you you've allowed it. Thank you there's a lesson in this for me. I'm not even sure exactly what the lesson is right now, Lord, but thank you. You'll show me in due season. I just have to trust you. Thank you in all things. Simple enough, isn't it? Simple enough. You say, well, I thought God was more gracious than that. I thought God was more loving than that. Yeah, you don't know God if that's the case. See, one of the problems with a little bit of disobedience is the principle in 1 Corinthians 5:6, where God says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We leave a few there down in that area. We leave a few in that area. Ephraim leaves a few here. Judah leaves a few there. Benjamin leaves a few there. It's only a few. But what happened? Those few leavened the whole lump. What did they do? They turned their back on God and began to worship who? Baal and Ashtaroth. Just a little bit of leaven, a little bit of disobedience. It still sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh reaps corruption. May God help us, you and I, to say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to do all that you ask me to do. I don't know how, I just don't know how, but I do know that your grace will be sufficient. And so it's part of learning to live by faith, isn't it? Learning to trust the Lord. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Oh, there's giants in the land, 40 years in the wilderness. What do you think, Josh? What do you think? Let's go do it. God's with us. We can't lose. We can't lose. And may the Lord help us, amen, to understand that God wants all. And if we don't give all, expect some chastening, right? And be thankful for that as well, amen. Let's pray.